Thanks for tuning in to the Duluth Rundown podcast. We're just about ready for our interview section, but first, a thanks goes out to our sponsor, Austin Jaro Sports. Austin Jaro is located at 1025 West Central Entrance here in Duluth in the Miller Hill Mall area. They have all types of running gear, shoes, clothes, food, and great advice for all types of runners. The store is a key sustainer of the local running scene. They show up and support many Duluth area races and, of course, support this podcast. Thanks, Austin Jaro.
All right, and we are joined now in our interview portion of the podcast with local runner, triathlete. We'll get into all the things that Michelle does. Michelle Breinland, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Michelle, let's just start from kind of the beginning for you and when you started running, kind of the early days, running or any endurance sports. Tell us about that.
So I started running way back in high school. I was actually a swimmer. And then my dad used to run marathons and the half marathon started. Mm-hmm. And so he convinced my sister and I to run the Gary Bjorklund half marathon. Okay. And so I did. And then I wasn't excited at all. And then we did. And then it just kind of got hooked and I've just continued running ever since then.
Were you in high school then?
I was in high school. So yeah. I think I was going into my sophomore year of high school. So I was like 15.
Yeah.
When I first did my first half marathon.
Yeah.
And
cool.
I totally got, and Grandma's Marathon growing up had always been a super big weekend for us. Cause my dad ran and we always had to volunteer. And so it was just super exciting to be part of that whole, to actually be the runner.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've kind of felt like one of the official family members now in a way.
Yes.
Like there's like, yeah, cool.
Are you from Duluth?
I'm from Duluth. I was born in South Carolina, but then we moved here when I was a baby. And then, I've lived here pretty much my whole life. I went away for college undergrad and then and grad school. And then never thought I would come back, but came back and I'm so happy I did.
Yeah, nice. And so after that first half marathon, what was the rest of, did you run like in high school then, like cross country or track?
I was still a swimmer. Still swam. I did a little track, but that couldn't kind of settle into that. But then I just kept running just to kind of stay in shape. And then, and even through college, still swam, but still ran kind of on the side. And then, it's kind of actually as I got older and had kids and everything that I just kind of fell into it and just became more and more excited about going further.
Yeah. Sure. So, what about your dad? I'm curious, did he like kind of pressure you? Was it very like, oh, I'm for sure in? I mean, had he asked you like years before?
Oh no. Cause I think this was only like the second or third year of the half marathon. So it was just getting started. And so at the dinner table said to my sister and I, hey, wouldn't it be super cool if we did the half marathon together? And I was not into it. My sister was super excited. And then we started training. And again, I wasn't super excited. And then we both just ended up falling in love with it.
Yeah. Something just kind of clicked.
Something clicked and we just settled in.
Yeah, cool.
Do you think what clicked for you? I mean, was it like maybe the training or like having that goal that you achieve or the race itself? Which I mean,
I think it was a little bit of both because I think part of it is just the training. And then you can just kind of go and settle in and just kind of continue to improve. And then the other part is just being a part of such a big Duluth tradition and a big environment. And it's just so exciting and there's so much energy and fun that it's kind of part. I mean, it's great to be a volunteer, but it's also amazing to be the runner and to get to that finish line. And
especially seeing that like as a volunteer, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Or seeing your dad cross, you know, like,
because we didn't get it. And then you do it and you're like, oh, now I understand.
It makes sense. Yeah.
And it's so much more enjoyable then too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do it the next year?
Yeah.
Nice.
I ran it almost. I think there was a couple years I didn't get in. I think there was one year when I was pregnant that I didn't run. So I was due like that week. And then, and then between that and the half marathon, I think I, or the full marathon, excuse me, I think I've run it almost done something almost every year.
Wow.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. That's super awesome. Cool. Mm-hmm.
Were you pretty competitive as a, in terms just, I don't know, just being competitive as a youngster like that and wanting to, say, maybe beat your sister or improve on your time or that, any of that kind of?
Yeah, so the first year, it was just kind of getting to the finish line, and my poor dad had this vision that, you know, we all ran together and he had this whole plan, and then we would, you know, we would get to the finish line and we'd all hold hands and hold our hands together over the finish line. That was his vision.
Right. Oh, yeah, the big picture.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful. Oh, it was gorgeous. It was a beautiful picture.
Was that discussed? Like, all right, when we get to mile 13?
He did. As we were running, he was like, okay, you know what, girls, you know, when we get to that last, we're all going to hold hands. And then we got to that last, you know, 10th as you're running down, you know, Canal Park Drive or whatever, and you can see the finish line. Mm-hmm. And my dad goes, he goes, you know, and I looked at you guys, and you guys looked at each other, and then you guys just took off, and I knew it was all over. Yeah. And then so my sister and I sprinted to the finish line, and yeah, so so that was the first year, and then the second year, you know, the goal was to get faster, and there's always been a not talked about, but still a little competitive edge with my sister.
Yeah, nice. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm sure your dad's kind of actually proud of that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think especially at a young age, too, it helps so much to have, you know, your sibling kind of pushing you, or at least for me, like the sibling rivalry, I know with my siblings is...
Oh, it's...
Unbeknownst to them.
Oh, yeah. No, it's big. Yeah. When I talk about it, but it's there.
And then in college, it was just mainly swimming.
It was mainly swimming. I went to it was just a D3 college, but I still ran, you know, outside the season, did a couple, you know, I trained for grandmas, and then there was the Indy half marathon, that I did. So just to stay in shape. It was really just to stay in shape, and just because it was, I would find it kind of just relaxing in its own special way.
Yeah. Did you find that running was beneficial to swimming?
Yeah. I mean, definitely works different muscles, but I would say it definitely helps with that endurance.
Sure.
Piece of it.
Yeah.
What sort of swimming events did you do in college or even before?
I was a butterflyer, and then free at, like the 200 and 500 free. Mm-hmm. So I ended up becoming a distance person. I never thought I would be one, but
is it similar to running where swimming you realize you're better at longer?
I am not super crazy fast, I would say, compared to other people, but I feel like in the endurance land, I feel like I can settle in better. But yeah, those super short distances are just not. Can't get my legs to go that fast.
And Tony and I, we interview a ton of, you know, I think collegiate and high school runners, mm-hmm. and more so than collegiate or high school swimmers.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm really curious from swimming, like where did you see yourself, I guess, at post college with swimming? Like, what does a lot of swimmers do?
Well, to be honest, once I got done with college swimming, I was done smelling like a pool. Mm-hmm. I just kind of wanted to get out in the pool, and I was just excited just to kind of run and settle in. And then after a while, I started kind of craving the water again, but still, you know, always I've loved to run.
Mm-hmm. After college, was it similar, just kind of stay in shape, or did you have goals for
it was
running?
Really just stay in shape. I mean, I would do the, I would do grandma, you know, the half every year, if I got in back when it was a lottery, and then, you know, some 5Ks kind of here and there, but nothing. I was never really, I always wanted to improve my time, but I didn't do, I feel like back in the day, there really wasn't a lot of focus on training and speed work, or at least I didn't know about that, mm-hmm. At that age. And so I would just follow my little training program, which was, you know, just kind of covering the miles and then, you know, hope that something happened on race day.
And did you do other races throughout the year as well, or was it kind of start, like, say, February, March for grandma's, then kind of just jog for the rest of the summer?
I would just kind of jog for the rest of the summer. We would do, you know, when I was little, we would always do the Park Point 5 miler, and so we would always still do the Park Point 5 miler and you know, the kid races just when we were little.
Yeah.
And then But then during the year, it felt like there was just some fun 5Ks that would sometimes come up that we would, that I would run, but nothing, there was never a formal plan.
Okay.
At all.
Yeah. Yep. I think that sounds pretty typical, especially, I'm guessing you're maybe in your 20s here in these years,
yes.
20s and 30s.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that seems pretty typical to me, yeah, where people are, you know, just being in shape, enjoying the outdoors, just kind of a Duluth athlete thing.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. Yeah,
I think Tony and I know you as a beast triathlete. But maybe our listeners don't obviously have that same lens or even know you, obviously. And so I guess I'm curious. I would think, Michelle, obviously, that the swimming background paired with the running brought you to triathlon.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, otherwise I would have been super intimidated. Yeah, so when I got into triathlon, it was... One of my friends was up doing that triathlon, and I had never seen a triathlon. And I went and I watched her, and I was just thought it was like the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And I was so excited. And so then decided the next year that I would do a triathlon. And the swimming part was, yes, it was probably the easiest part, I would say, for me to do and train for, because it wasn't quite as intimidating just because I was a competitive swimmer. Yeah. The biking for me was... That was not my forte, and then the running was
easy enough.
Yeah.
Was that the Brewhouse triathlon that you
spectated? It was the Brewhouse.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the next year, did you sign up?
The next year, I signed up and did it, and I had a blast. And then after that, I was hooked.
Yeah.
What year? Like what time? What year was this?
So that was back, and that was probably in 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, that was probably right around 2010.
So a good solid 10 to 12 years of triathlons now at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
I feel like triathlon does that. It kind of can draw you into a next level of maybe like passion on like maybe running all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think I was getting bored. I was getting kind of bored of running. I just kind of, you know, I kept running and it was just fine, but I just wanted to do something different. And then And it felt so good to get back in the pool and then to have this new challenge was really exciting. And it was so fun to train for it because you're always doing something different.
Yeah.
So it just, it's really fun.
When you got back into the pool, did you find it kind of difficult to, and start to maybe compare to your college days and times and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I did. Effort and then I, and yeah. And especially when I first got in the pool after not being in there for many years and, you know, just doing my first like 100 warm up and going, oh my God, this, I was like dying. And then, but then kind of once you get in there and you're in the pool, you know, one or two times per week, you just kind of settle in. And I knew that I would never, you know, I wasn't going to get to those times probably that I did in college, but it didn't matter. It was kind of feeling good and confident in the water. And
that's good that you're able to kind of just be where you were at that time. I know a lot of people struggle with that when returning to any sport or anything that they used to do and that start going down that comparison road, and comparing yourself to your former self can be a real challenge. So.
And I think what helps too is when you're in the pool, it's so different than open water swimming. And so when you're in the pool and you're just in practice, you're not thinking about race. And so you never did any pool races. So you really can't compare. And then when you're open water, the conditions are always different. And so you just never know what's going to...
Yeah. That would make sense.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
What did you think about open water swimming, I guess, right away?
Well, I really liked it in training. And then I still remember people would tell me, oh, you know, it's not unusual for people to panic and get kind of anxious. I'm like, whatever, I'm a swimmer. It's fine.
Right.
And then that first Brewhouse, I think that one actually went okay. And then the second triathlon I did, I got in the water and... I totally panicked between the wetsuit and all the people, and I had to do this deep breathing and then settle down, and then it was okay. So I think, and I feel like almost every person who's done a triathlon at some point has had that panic moment where you go, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm getting run over.
Yeah, might not be able to do this.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just drop out now.
Yeah. And then you go, oh, Michelle, settle down. You're fine.
So were you looking for other races, or you just kind of did the Brewhouse 1 year? And I mean, similar to like grandma's.
Yeah, well, I did Brewhouse that first year, and then I went down, and I can't remember the name of the race, but a friend of mine lived down in the cities, and so I looked at that. I was so excited after doing the Brewhouse that I wanted to get one more race in before the end of the season. So I did another race down there, and then every year I would usually do a couple. I would do Brewhouse, and then Timberman, which is such a super fun
local
race.
local favorite.
Yeah. So
what do you think drew you to the triathlons, maybe instead of, or more so, maybe it wasn't more so or less so than, I guess, just running, you know, I said just running, or swimming from college?
I think it was just doing, it was a new challenge, so it was something that I hadn't done before. It was fun to train for, you know, multiple sports at the same time, and so it just kept me from getting bored, and then from getting too much in my head of thinking about time.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that because there's just, every race is kind of different?
Or? Yeah, I think every race is kind of different, and the conditions are always different, which I noticed for a running race too, but it always felt different for triathlon because, I don't know, it just felt different. And I think it was just such a new challenge and a new environment and new people that it was just really exciting to be part of something different.
And what successes did you see right away?
Well, funnily, that's not a real word, but the very first Brewhouse that I did, I didn't realize this. I just laughed after the race. And then one of my friends called me, they're like, Michelle, did you know that you placed in your age group? And I started laughing. I said, I did not. And she said, yes, you did. And I got your, you know, your cup. So I typically was placing in the top three of my age group, which was, you know, that's always very validating. I think especially when you're, you know, as a runner, especially a road races, you know, to place in your age group is so, there's so many more people, and there's so fast and crazy, you know. So,
especially a race like Gary Bjorklund.
Yeah, right, I mean, it's just,
right.
Gosh, if you get in the top 100, you're like, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so where did you take it from there? I mean, were you motivated to get top on the podium? Did you want to try different races?
Or I tried some different. So I started out doing the sprint, a distance, and then after a few years of doing that, I was ready for another challenge, and so I did the longer course. And then one of my girlfriends, we heard about the Superior Man, which was a, you know, half Ironman distance, and she convinced me that we could do this, and it would be fine, and it would be super fun. And so we signed up for it and did it, and it was just it was great. So did that
That's
for a few years.
Half Ironman.
The half Ironman here. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And had success at that
Had success at that, and I didn't venture outside of Duluth. I just kind of stuck in, you know, Duluth, you know, just kind of the general area. You know, I only did the Superior Man for that distance. I did that a few times, and then pulled back a little bit after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because the time for training was so, was just pretty intense.
Yeah.
For sure.
Did you have, in those days, did you have anybody coaching you? Did you have just kind of people helping you, sort of guiding you, mentoring you a little bit, giving you advice?
Yeah, just more advice. And then I never had a coach. I would find plans online or in a book and follow those. And
Do you think that your college swim days really helped with that too? And just kind of understanding like performance and how, especially how you react to certain things.
Yes. I think that definitely helped. And I knew how to do speed work in the pool. And so I think that made a huge difference. I knew what sets were. And I think that made a big difference. So it wasn't such a foreign concept.
Right. It's just one or two fewer things that you had to learn.
Yes.
Because you already had that experience, which is helpful.
Yes. For sure. Yeah. That definitely helped.
Who were some of the people that you were training with in those days? Or still?
So I was training. My friend Rachel was the one who talked me into doing the Superior Man. Because she has a lot of enthusiasm and is very excited. And makes it sound like it's no big deal. So she was probably, I would say she would be my main person that I would train with, especially on the bike. We would do a lot of our long rides together. Mm-hmm. And then in the pool, I would meet up with a couple friends of mine, Julie and Bettina, mm-hmm. who would push me, especially Bettina, would push me really hard in the pool, which was really good because then I would work way, way harder than I probably would have otherwise. And then we did this through the Y. They had this, it was called Bike Camp, mm-hmm. which was really good because then it was, you know, doing a lot of speed and endurance. And so that, I think, made a huge difference in my bike performance, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
You have any, like, tips or tricks from a training perspective that worked well for you that might work well for other of our listeners? Or, what kind of plans were you setting up for yourself?
I think the biggest thing was just having a set day. Like, this was, you know, one day, this was my, you know, my swim day was gonna be Wednesdays, you know, Wednesdays and Saturdays. And then these run bikes. So at least I knew what day I was going to do which sport, which kind of helped me stay a little bit more focused. And then finding somebody to train with makes a big difference because there's a lot of times when you just aren't feeling it or don't really want to push yourself or like, I don't really want to go, but you know that somebody's waiting for you. Mm-hmm. And so that makes a huge difference.
Right. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
So you were kind of splitting up each, discipline or sport per day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I would do some brick workouts. So that's, you know, when you're going from the bike to run, you know, I do, you know, bike and then, you know, go for a couple of runs after that. But mm-hmm. otherwise, pretty much just do one sport per day.
Per day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And training, it's what, 6 days a week, 7 days a week?
Pretty much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. For sure.
It is.
Are you still doing triathlons?
You know, Tony, I have not done. This was the first year since I first started doing triathlon when that I did not do Brewhouse and I ended up that I had to work. So I was kind of bummed out. But at the same time, last year, did not train sufficiently for it. So it was a little painful. and now I'm starting to crave it again and crave getting in the pool and doing that. So hopefully next summer.
There you go.
Get back into it again.
Yeah. Cool. Good.
Do you have any bucket list races or, big goals for the future?
You know, nothing set. I started doing some trail races, like trail running races, mm-hmm. which has been, it's almost similar to kind of when I got into triathlon, like just doing something different and something new. And, you know, you're not thinking about time. You can't compare it to anything else because every race is different. Every run is different. And so that's been really fun. But kind of as of now, I don't really have any huge, nothing set in stone.
I mean, you seem to go longer and you do better. You're better. I mean, is Ironman on the docket?
Oh, God, no. No, that, I don't know. I am so amazed and impressed and humbled when I see people who do those. The amount of training and the hours of training that they put in is absolutely amazing to me. And, not sure if my girls would really be excited about me training all the time.
Yeah, being gone for that long.
Yeah,
that's a big commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like you need your friend Rachel. Rachel?
Yeah, Rachel.
You're maybe a little bit. Yeah. Rachel, if you're listening.
Yeah, Rachel. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it was my friend Rebecca. She was the one who got me into marathon running.
Oh, okay.
Because she made us run a marathon.
Because you just ran Twin Cities last weekend, is that right?
Yeah, just the 10.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't say just the 10. It was the 10-miler.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah. But my friend Rebecca, she was going to, it was a big birthday for her, and she said, you guys, we're going to run a marathon, and we're going to do the Twin Cities Marathon, because it's going to follow my birthday. And I would like to do one more marathon before I hit this milestone. And I'd always said at the end of the half marathon, oh my God, I can't imagine doing another 13. And then she, we signed up being the good friends that we were and it was good and it was fun.
Yeah.
in its own special way.
Right, right. They're all kind of like that.
Yes, they are.
How did TC go for you last weekend?
You know, it was good. It felt, I hadn't been doing a lot of speed work because I'd been spending a lot of time on the trails, but it was really, I was happy with how I did. I went out hard for the first 2 miles and then I panicked. I got a little in my head and then pulled back and then kind of settled in again and kind of pushed out the negative things and it kind of settled in and it was fine.
Yeah,
it
sounds like you ran it pretty well. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
So it sounds like, Michelle, you're pretty consistent in terms of every year you can kind of make the race that you sign up for and keep on a consistent, you know, the streak going, so to speak. Can you talk a bit about injury prevention? I mean, what do you attribute to consistency or just being able to stay healthy? Or what challenges have you had with, you know, overuse injuries?
Well, I mean, there's definitely been a few years where I was training and I wasn't able to do the race that I signed up for. Whether it was a hamstring thing or a foot thing or whatever. But I feel like actually probably in the last four years, knock on wood, I've been pretty injury free because I started doing weights more regularly, which I know everyone knows that you should do weights all the time, but it's just never been my favorite thing. But I think trying to get into doing weights, if I probably did it more, it'd probably even be better. But I feel like I've not... been injured for many years now, I think, and I think a lot of it is again the weights and then kind of switching it up too between road and trail.
Right. Great. What are some of your favorite trails to run in the area?
Oh, I am I love running in Leicester.
Yeah,
I love the Leicester Rib, the Leicester Cogs trails. It's just such a great network, and I can just run those and not get lost, which is a big thing. I can just kind of zone out and I know where I am. So that's become a very definitely one of my favorite places to run on the trails, and partly again because I don't have to think or get
wayfind.
You start to know like each little where there's a rock coming around that corner, like you know the trail so well. There's a comfort to that.
There is
What about other training grounds, especially like biking or open water swimming or road running? Do you have any other favorites in Duluth?
So my, I have a few, my other like favorite little running routes. Always love doing, Seven Bridges, Hawk Ridge loop on the road. That's always, you know, really nice. And the leg walk is always just, you can just settle in and just zone out. Cause you don't have to really deal with anything. Swimming, pool, and then my parents live on a lake, and so I've been very, very spoiled because they're the lake that they live on, which is just 20 minutes outside of town, doesn't have a ton of boat traffic. It's usually pretty calm, and it's just, it's easy.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Fun. So what's on tap for next year? Are you going to do another triathlon? Or
So
actually, first Grandma's. Are you going to be doing Grandma's again?
I'm doing Grandma's Half. I signed up for Grandma's Half. So Grandma's Half is on the docket. And I will be getting back into the pool. You guys are, this will be good now that I've said it. I'm getting back in the pool so I can do Brew House again. And then hopefully get into running out the past 2 years, the Moose Mountain Trail Marathon, which is in September, up at Lutzen, which is just a really super cool, amazing race. And it's one of the few times when you can say, I'm just running the marathon, when there's a 50 and 100 miler. So you feel kind of like the, but it's really, it's just, it's fun.
Nice.
So that's what I have so far is on the that's what's on the schedule so far.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
And you have two kids as well, right?
I do.
So I'm super curious to hear, having, you know, heard the story that, you know, your dad got you into running at 15. And do you think you'll kind of do the same for your kids?
You know what? I keep hoping. I keep hoping, Mike. So my oldest daughter is a swimmer. She ran track next year, but she's quote unquote, not a runner, Mom. No. I'm not a runner. And then my younger daughter plays soccer, and she is, she gets her wheels on and she flies down the field. She's super crazy fast. She also claims she is not a runner. So I keep hoping that one day they will decide that maybe we can, I keep kind of setting seeds, but I don't want to push too hard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the hard ask of, I got this idea, we could run down the finish line holding hands?
Oh, yeah, no, they just laugh at me. They just laugh at me. They say, no, we do the gobble gallop. Once they were old enough to run the gobble gallop, we've done the gobble gallop every year, so they know that that is nice. To be expected. And they can choose the distance. They can choose if they want to do the 5K or the 1 miler, but yeah. They're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just part of the day.
Did they get competitive in that race, like towards the end, like you and your sister?
No.
Do you? No, they just kind of...
They just kind of... my
through it. And,
yeah, yeah, my younger daughter, I would say, is a little more competitive. Okay. And so she'll push it pretty hard. And then my older daughter just kind of... She just runs it and just settles in, and she's pretty chill about it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like kind of a blend, two sides of you almost. You
yeah.
Know, yeah. Kind of competitive.
Kind of competitive. Kind of not. Yeah. Just get through it.
Like little pieces of both.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they're both good. I mean, they're both good little runners. They just kind of.
Yeah.
Are maybe just in a little bit of denial that they're not runners, mm-hmm. but it's in there.
Yeah.
Funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think sometimes for kids who are in, you know, like an athletic family, there mm-hmm. can be sort of some pressure in a way to like, oh, now I have to be the runner kid because my parents are, or the swimmer, or whatever. And
yeah.
that can be kind of hard, even though I think, you know, I can't speak for your kids, obviously, but I think a lot of times they still kind of want to be, you
yeah.
know, because they see it so much,
yeah.
but then there's at the same time like, oh.
Well, and I think they do. I mean, they have said, you know, they've said, well, mom, we don't want to go running with you because she's super fast. I'm like, you guys, you know what? I'm really not that fast, and I will go whatever yeah. pace that you want to go. I really don't care.
Yeah.
You guys just do.
You're like, look at my training plan. See, yeah. slow, slow day.
Slow day.
Yeah.
Slow day.
But that's so often the thing is like, they've got to be able to kind of find their space in
yes.
the sport. And then, and they almost always do, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure your kids will as well. And then when they do, you just watch them just blossom mm-hmm. from there. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll let me run with them sometime.
Yeah, exactly.
That's someday.
Someday it'll be like, oh, you'll be saying to them, I'll be too slow for you.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. It'll happen someday.
Like the roles have reversed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ah, you're too fast.
Yeah.
No, run any speed you want, mom.
Pretty much.
Any other big goals down the road, or some like crazy ideas that you might have for races or anything like that?
I don't have anything super crazy. I would mm-hmm. like to I've qualified for Boston before and run mm-hmm. it. I would like to qualify again for Boston. It's kind of been there, but I just haven't been able to pull my head together, and I think my head is almost back together.
Yeah.
And so I think that hopefully in the next couple of years that mm-hmm. will happen.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You have yeah. run Boston.
I have.
Okay, mm-hmm. nice. Want to go back?
I want to go back. And I've gone back as a spectator support person, which mm-hmm. is almost more fun because
yeah,
you don't have that
sure.
pressure of racing. But
yeah.
To run Boston is just such an amazing the whole energy and environment and all the runners, and it's just such a cool event.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely,
to be a part of it.
Do you have a favorite race?
You know, I always love Grandma's. I think I'm a little bit too much of a head case to do Grandma's Marathon again, just because I know where everything is. Twin Cities has been a really good race for me. I think it just the changing scenery and all the people has always been.
Yeah.
It's just a really fun race. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of those maybe.
Yeah. Maybe one of those. We'll see.
Do you have anything in the immediate? You just did Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. You'll probably do Gobble Gallop again, I assume. Anything in between?
You know what, Tony? This is my first year not running the Gobble
Gallop.
You're
not going to do
a really
it.
Long
okay.
time because I'm going to be out of town.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
First year.
Thanksgiving. It's kind of, how it goes sometimes. Yeah.
I know. It's kind of hard. It was the hardest part.
Yeah. Yeah.
National Honda.
But no, otherwise, yeah, so nothing on the docket until Grandma's.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure there will be some, you know, 5Ks or 10Ks that will, maybe mm-hmm. a half that will kind of yeah. come up just for fun, just to kind of stay excited.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a favorite race distance? And that could go like, you know, triathlon, road, trail. I mean, if you had to do like one.
Oh, you know, the 10 or, you know, 10 miler or 13 miler is just, it's, you know, it doesn't take as much time for training as, you know, running a full marathon. Yet you're still doing some of that speed and it's, yet it's, you know, long enough that you really feel extra excited at the end.
Like you can get into your groove kind of.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So those, I would say those are my favorite distances. And then as far as triathlon, gosh, the sprint and then the, you know, long course is, those again, they, you know, you can train, you know, but you're not, it's not taking 4 or 5 hours on the, you know, weekends to get long rides and stuff. So, so it's kind of just a nice amount of training.
Right. Mm-hmm. What's interesting too, the sprint try is, I guess, fairly similar to a 10 or 13 mile, right?
Yeah.
Hour, 2 hour range.
So. And then you're done.
Yeah. Now, do you have like a race distance you think you're like naturally best at? Kind of that range or?
Probably still that range.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any people, we haven't talked about this a lot lately in some of our interviews, but we often talk about this. One reason, almost how we started the whole podcast in general, was to kind of acknowledge some of the people that kind of inspired us into the sport and mentored us. Do you have anybody who was kind of an inspiration for you and mentored you?
You know, I think the first person was my dad. Just, you know, just watching him, you know, run and train for Grandma's Marathon. And, you know, we were just little kids and we didn't really quite get it. You'd be at the finish line and everyone's super excited. And then, you know, so I think he was the one who really got us to start running. So I think that would be, you know, he would probably be the biggest one, I would say. And then, you know, I think just, you know, friends and family just being so amazing and supportive and, you know, encouraging you to, you know, go run and train and be there, either out, you know, cheering for you or at the finish line or just checking in to see how your, you know, your race goes is just, it's just amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
I guess like as a kid seeing your dad and thinking like, this is weird, right?
Yeah. We didn't get it.
Think about, you know, maybe even an adult who was never exposed to that as a kid or any, I mean, do you think you have the same thought of as an adult, like, this is weird, you know, knowing someone, like, but, how does that form your,
you know what I think, you know, when you hear people talking about it, you know, you don't really understand it until you see it, until you watch, you know, you watch a race and you're like, oh, wow. And then you get through that. I can't do it. Yes, you can. And then you do it and you're like, oh my gosh, this was amazing. And so, and it's really fun and exciting when you have, you know, you have, you know, friends or coworkers who have never really run before. And then they're like, you know, Michelle, I just signed up for my first half. I don't think I can do it. I'm like, yes, you can do it. I don't think I can run a marathon. Yes, you can do it. And it will be fine. And it's going to be, you're going to get done and you're going to, it might hurt a little bit, but then you're going to say, when is my next race? And what is my next race going to be? It just, you just kind of get... Yeah. It just feels, it's such a great accomplishment, and it just, you just, to reach a goal that you've set for yourself you didn't think you could do is always amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a, you can be proud of yourself for a little while too because of the work that you put in, and you then you have that success, and that just feels really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. Cool. Any other questions, Wayne?
I got nothing, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. You, Tony?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Anything else to add, Michelle?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good luck for the, well, I guess for next year, for training for Grandma's.
Yeah.
When will you officially begin the training?
Probably officially, I feel like that's usually February or so.
Yeah.
Now I'm just kind of... looking forward to, don't laugh, listeners, but I'm looking forward to winter trail running.
Yeah.
It's so
Absolutely.
Kind of magical.
Absolutely. No, it's, I like the winter trails better than the summer trails, actually.
You don't have to think.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you don't have to worry about falling, tripping over stuff.
Over stuff, exactly. Yeah, yeah, the trails are less technical in the wintertime.
Soft landing.
Yep.
Much softer.
Bugs.
You can see the dog better.
Yeah, you can do Andy's trail series, the winter trail series.
Oh, yeah.
Those winter races. Those are fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'll keep you motivated, keep you fit, and then you'll be ready to rock for the... Well, for when you start training, especially in the wintertime, will you, again, follow a plan like from a book, or how will you go about doing that?
Usually I do a plan from a...
There's so many options.
The past couple of years, I have not really followed a real plan and just kind of...
Used my experience
and but at the same time not following a plan, then I don't do speed work, which is super important, so I'm getting the distance in but not seeing speed work, so the goal this year is to be better about weights and better about doing speed.
Well, all right. Well, good luck with the rest of all that training. That'll be fun.
Thank you, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And that wraps up our latest episode, episode number 54 of the Duluth Rundown Podcast. I want to thank our guest, Michelle, for joining us. Really fun to hear her story. Hope she has another great training, you know, block for grandmas and the upcoming season after in, here in 2023. We're already thinking about 2023. It's kind of funny. But it is kind of the end of the season now as we record this in early October. So
seems like it.
Yeah, kind of. I'm sure thoughts will be starting to shift as registration signed up or opened up for grandmas week ago now. So, you know, a lot of people's thoughts are towards 2023 already.
Yeah.
In the meantime, before that, we'll have a couple more podcasts, in one in November, one in December. And we'll talk to you all then.